So let's hear the Lord's word as we turn together to this New Testament book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. How often we say to each other, have a good day. Now, that may depend upon a whole lot of things. It depends what's going on in the world around us, in our job, in our home, in our relations, in our body. And having a good day is probably the rare, rather the exception rather than the normal. Now, on the other hand, for the Christian, every day is a good day, because it is the day that the Lord has given us, and it's the day that we have opportunity to serve Him. And we do so not out of professed perfection, but in our weakness, and even in our great limitations. And so we can say as a Christian that every day is a day of opportunity. And it's an opportunity to praise God in spite of how we are feeling or getting along in this world, and that we may be overcomers. Now, to accomplish that, the Lord promises, My grace is sufficient for thee. And even the Apostle Paul, the miracle worker, church planter, preacher, theologian, he needed God's grace that he might be an overcomer in this old world. And I trust that you today will know something of the Lord's grace in your heart and in your life, that you might glorify God in your walk with him. Stay tuned as we come to this text, My grace is all sufficient
for thee.
Now, think of how Paul experienced this. He went amongst these people with great concerns. He wasn't sure how it would work out, how he would be received, what people's response would be to the message. And so he went there trembling, and yet knowing the help of the Spirit of God. And that's his experience. That's his story to tell. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. Now again, we need to look at the context to understand it all. But again, you see the paradox, and he applies it to the Christian. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. So this is a theme. This is a doctrine. It is a truth that we need to lay hold upon and see God's condition of knowing and experiencing the Spirit's help. And that should be reflected in our praying. That should be reflected in our worshiping. That we are confessing and crying to God in our weakness, that he would come and meet with us in his might and gracious power. You never find the Holy Spirit making men proud of themselves. That doesn't happen. The Holy Spirit does not fuel man's pride. Rather, his work is to make us humble. His work is to drive us to our knees. And when Christians sound like politicians, well, we have lost sight of the paradox and we will lose the power and blessing of God. And this theme comes right through the whole Bible. Think of Gideon's army, how they started out with, 32,000 men, and they reduced it down to 300. And God was going to demonstrate his power through that little band of men. And then the apostles, 11 fishermen, tax collectors, those that were despised by many. And yet God took 11 men to demonstrate his power in the world. And so let us be done with the thinking that we have to be great and mighty in our own abilities, but rather let us come realizing our own emptiness and crying out to God. Paul himself said earlier, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, take that to heart tonight. Now, you may not be a preacher or a missionary. We do have Sunday school teachers, and we do have parents here that need God's help to teach God's word. But to live as a Christian, to live the daily life of a Christian, here is the way to power and to blessing. Another example is Moses. Moses, who was the meekest man of all the earth, and he said, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he confessed that he could not speak properly and so on. He felt his weakness, and yet he was God's man and the one through whom God demonstrated his mighty power. And so we need to learn this lesson. We need to learn the condition on which God gives this all-sufficient grace, and it is to come to the point confessing our own weakness. We need to walk humbly. And if we take the attitude, we can do it ourselves, we can do it on our own strength, I don't need that kind of support, then we'll fall flat. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And so this is a constant theme. Now, thirdly, we come now to this verse 10. And we see here the apostles' conclusion. Therefore, and here you have one of those Apostle Paul therefores. And we must agree with the apostles' conclusion of God's way of bestowing grace. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. This is the conclusion of the matter. And back in verse 9, he said at the end of verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So here's his own conclusion. If this is God's way, that's what I'm going to rejoice in. If this is God's way, that's what I will gladly do. He's not going to fight this. He's not going to resist this. But he's going to enter into the blessing of it. Now his conclusion is also stated again there in verse 10, where he says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. What a testimony. And remember, Paul lived this as an apostle, as a preacher, as a missionary, as a church planter, as an encourager of God's people in all the tasks of his ministry. He experienced this, and it was his own life story. When I was weak, then God made me strong. And he would boast of his infirmities. He would tell that story. I was so unfit, but somehow God used me. Somehow God worked his grace and power in my life. And we need to agree with this conclusion. We need to come to agree to this conclusion and make that the very joy of our life and the thing that we enter into gladly. Most gladly, therefore. Here's another therefore. Why? Why would anyone do that? The answer is clear at the end of verse 9. And it says very clearly that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, commentators point out that this is a very picturesque language, that this power of Christ resting upon the apostle is like a tent coming down and shrouding and encompassing the life so that you live in the atmosphere of the Lord's presence and the Lord's Spirit. It's like tabernacling, the tent of the Lord coming into your life. And that's the experience of the apostle. He knew that. He's not just testifying of something, well, it'll work. Paul says it does work. And he knew of it in his own life. He knew of it in his own heart. Now, I think you agree that you have seen Christians who have proven this. Those that, humanly speaking, were nothing, but lived in the sweet atmosphere of the presence of the living Savior. Do you want that tonight? Do you want to live in that? Here is what we must therefore take hold upon. And trials, troubles, difficulties that we face in the Christian life, they work for our good. As David put it, it's good that I've been afflicted. Or as Job put it, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. That's the end of Job's life story, after all the trials and afflictions that he went through. And through that there came a reality of God, an enjoyment and sweet fellowship with God that he did not experience prior to going through that very time of trouble. Now, in Job's experience, we see that trial and trouble works a deeper, deeper work of grace in our hearts. The Bible comes alive. When you're in trouble, when you're living with suffering, this book will be like a new book to your heart. You will get new eyes to see things, and God will speak to you in ways that you never experienced in days of ease. That's a reality. That's something that Christians testify of over and over and over again. And it's a reality that will be true in your life as well. And so trials work an ongoing, a deeper repentance, and they sanctify us. They purify us. They bring us through the fire, and we come out as gold. Now, also in verse 10, we need to follow the apostle's sweet submission to suffering. Verse 10 says, therefore I take pleasure. That means he thinks good in infirmities. He says, I choose to call it good. This is his sweet submission. For there is nothing sweeter than witnessing a child of God going through suffering, yet remaining tender-hearted and full of praise unto God. And notice that his sufferings became, in a spiritual manner, the source of his highest pleasure. This is, again, a paradox. It's an anomaly. It's contrary to natural thinking. And yet, as we go through troublous waters, we experience the Lord lifting us up. Now, let's see this in verse 5, verse 10, and 15. Verse 5, firstly, and he says, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And you will see there that he's not bitter. He's not full of rancor. He's not complaining and muttering and murmuring, but rather he's glorying. He's thanking God. These are good. And then verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and so on. And then down in verse 15, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. And what he's really saying there is, out of his own trials and difficulties, he's a better servant. He's more able to encourage, more able to minister. He has a sweeter ministry as a result of the trials, the difficulties that he has been brought through. Can that happen in our life? It will. It will. And I think many here tonight can testify of that already. And we can have confidence that as we go through life and face difficult things, that we will prove this text, God's grace will be sufficient. His strength will be made perfect in our weakness. Now, moving on to number 5 here now, take hold of the apostle's application. Look at verse 10, and you'll see the number of things that he alludes to. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. And here is now the apostle, the genius of preaching. He comes to the application. And this is where it really matters. You might be sitting tonight and saying, well, so what? Here's where it really matters. It is infirmities. Now, I think we would limit that to things in the body. Some people might think that was an eye complaint that the apostle had. Maybe it was a limp. Maybe it was pain in the body somehow. And there was that infirmity. Then reproaches. And interestingly, the Greek word is hubris, meaning arrogance, mockery. And I'm sure Paul met lots of that. And as men piled on the mockeries, he experienced God's grace ministering to him. Now, if you're interested in evangelism and talking to others about the gospel, and you might be reluctant to do that, you might be fearful to do that, you might say, well, I'm not equipped to do that, and I couldn't, but you just do it. And as you witness for Christ, you will experience the Spirit ministering in your heart. If you want a blessing, if you want a blessing this week, talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus. Just go do it. And you will experience this very thing that Paul is speaking of the Spirit of God ministering in the midst of what we call here reproaches. Then necessities, stress, distress, when you're shut up to difficult things. You got no option. It's your lot in life. You got to do it. You can't leave it to somebody else. And God will give you the grace to do it. Then persecutions, trials for faithfulness to God and His Word. And he goes on to talk there in verse 10, for Christ's sake, suffering as a Christian. That can come in so many forms today. It might be the loss of a job. It might be you didn't get that promotion because you're a Christian. And because you were strong and unbending in some situation, you've been bypassed. That hurts. And it's not said, it's not publicized, but you just know deep down it's because of your testimony as a Christian that you are bypassed and set aside. Again, yesterday morning we were discussing around our breakfast table. You should come to one of our men's prayer breakfasts. There's all kinds of subjects that get talked about around that table. But I was hearing, I don't follow this sport of rugby down in Australia, but I was hearing a couple of the brethren were talking about Israel Fallow, the Australian rugby player. And he was signed on for a $4 million contract. But because of his tweet or public statement on social media somewhere about that he doesn't support the gay agenda, he's been off the team. He had a contract. He had sponsors. But now he's out. And he was given opportunity to retract, but he wouldn't do it. And he says here, as Australians, we are born with certain rights, including the right to freedom of religion and the right to freedom of expression, he said. The Christian faith has always been a part of my life, and I believe it is my duty as a Christian to share God's word. Upholding my religious beliefs should not prevent my ability to work or play for my club and country. That was his response. But he wouldn't change his statement. And of course, he's out. And what other team is now going to give him a contract? He's a star player, but he's out because he's a Christian. Well, I can be assured that he's sleeping well. I can be sure that $4 million, which could not buy an easy conscience, that he is sleeping extremely well. And the Spirit of God will minister to that man in ways that will reward him beyond any earthly loss that he might have in this world. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I hope tonight that this word has come to you with a challenge of resting, not in a spirit of fear. We have many fear nots in the Bible. God's people are like sheep. We can be worry warts. We can be filled with fears of the future and so on. But you can rest assured tonight from this text, from this testimony of the Apostle Paul, that the Lord will not fail. And in your hour of need, whether it's physical, financial, job, career, disappointments, and even as we come to the end of life, God's grace will be sufficient to meet and compensate, to sustain, and to give us the victory in our own hearts and in our own souls. And so may the Lord use this word in a gracious and wonderful way in your own heart and in your own life. Let's sing about grace.
Here's a story from a Christian magazine that might help us to understand what God is doing through our sufferings. We were going through a great furniture factory when our guide, the superintendent, pointed out to us a superbly grained and figured sideboard in the natural wood. "I want you to observe the beauty of this oak," he said. It is the finest selected timber of its kind. And the secret of the intricate and beautiful graining is just this, that the trees from which it was taken grew in a spot where they were exposed to almost constant conflict with storms. What a suggestive fact! The storm-beaten tree develops the closest and finest and most intricately woven fibers. When it is cut down and the saws lay bare its exquisitely figured grain, the cabinet maker selects it as the material for his finest work. So, with the human life beset by sorrows, tests, and trials, if it stands the storm, how the wind of God strengthens and beautifies it. We need life's stress. Character cannot be developed into its strongest and most beautiful forms without it. Here's another one of learning in the dark. We have read that during the World War I, when it was no longer possible to import beautiful singing canaries from the Harz Mountains in Germany, a dealer in New York decided to start a system of training canaries to sing. He had bird songs put on records, and these proved of value. But one day he made a real discovery which meant success. He found that if he covered the cages with thick cloths, completely shutting out the light, the birds learned their song. The song of the Christian originates in the heart, and many a Christian has learned that God sometimes teaches his children to sing in darkness. Verily, he giveth us songs in the night. And how often you will find that too, that after the trial will come the light. After the trouble, you will be led into song. May the Lord lead you into singing, to praise to the one who loves you too much to leave you alone. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.